people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think
class war.
Class war, the only war.
We want to just quickly send a nice friendly message to the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia.
This is an anti-Nazi song.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Rebel Beat of Firebrand Records podcast. This is our fifth episode with Firebrand for the month of November 2016. My name is Aaron, and this is a revolutionary music podcast where every month we bring you music to inspire movements for change and interviews with bands and artists who are pushing that change forwards. We have a great show lined up for you today, and our feature interview is with the one and only Scottish anarcho-punk band Oi Polloi. Hailing from Edinburgh, they describe themselves as 100% anti-fascist street crust, and they've been doing their thing since 1981. They were over here on this side of the pond recently for a mini Canadian tour, and I caught up with them at Revolution Fest in Montreal. That conversation is coming up.
Peace, y'all. This is Rod Stars from Rebel Diaz, and you know that we rebels, so of course we're going to have to listen to the Rebel Beat. Peace.
Okay, so obviously there was an election in the U.S. on November 8th. Truth is, I actually recorded this before the election, so in a sense, I'm kind of speaking to you from the past. Hi, future friends. Anyways, I imagine the world is a very different place from where you all are listening from. I don't know if it was Trump or Clinton who won, or who knows, maybe Jill Stein? But no matter who it was, one thing is for sure, that we have a monumental task ahead of us. I'm pretty sure that racism, ecological devastation, class warfare, and military warfare won't end the day after the election. And so it's up to all of us to keep bringing the fight. And that being said, we're not going to dwell much on the elections. I'll just leave it there and say la lucha sigue. For those of you who are tuning into the Rebel Beat for the first time, welcome. And do make sure to subscribe. It's definitely the best way to never miss an episode, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and the TuneIn app. And of course, you can find this podcast through the Firebrand Records website, firebrandrecords.com, where plenty of revolutionary music is being pumped out all the time. Also, if you dig this podcast, and if hearing music with a message means anything to you, maybe this podcast is worth $1 a month to you, maybe $3 a month, $5 a month. Surely it's worth something, because that's why you're here. So what we need you to do is head on over to our Patreon support page. That's patreon.com/rebelbeatradio, and drop us a few coins in the form of a monthly pledge. It really doesn't have to be much, but if every person who listened to this podcast donated just $1 a month, we would be able to do amazing things. So again, head on over to patreon.com/rebelbeatradio today and make your pledge. For everyone who does, there's some amazing swag, and we're also going to put that link up to the Patreon page in the show notes. In some Firebrand family news, Son of None, an amazing Baltimore MC, is working on a new video for his track, It's Like That. Let's have a listen to that track, and then we're going to check in with Son of None from Baltimore.
Most of y'all ain't, so I'm pretty uppity. don't know a cracker born yet with the luxury to fuck with me. Skymatic, static and pragmatic. Only 1% is from a mathematics problematic. How many caps can they put in our backs? How many phones have to catch blacks killed by the batch? How many cutbacks can they enact? How many bombs can they drop where civilians be at? Nah, this is Molotovs in a mask rap on American cancer tear gas tracks. And another nonprofit won't stop it. Pimping poverty to make some grand money off it. Nah, people got nothing to lose. Lead story, 11 o'clock news. And it's like that. Fuck what you heard. They protect killer cops cause they will get served. And it's like that. I ain't taking it back. Cause it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Where's B-more at? Where's Brooklyn at? Where's Gaza? Where's Cleveland? Where's Ferguson at? And it's like that. Better get off the fence. Demonstrate, legislate, build self-defense. Man, fuck these cops. Fuck CNN, we run these blocks. Snap a voice box and we'll speak with rocks. It shouldn't take it this long to connect these dots, yo. They don't even see us. How long it take for them to bother to deceive us? This ain't the first Freddy Gray to come between us. It's the last one they'll forget, and you could take that to Jesus. I put that on my people in the streets. From the leaders to the project to the blocks to the priests. To the medics to the coalitions out fighting the beast. The Bloods and the Crips came together for a peace. You could take six pigs and put them in a line. Catch them on a cell phone cause they think they can rhyme. Let them battle the people and reap that lethal design. And that's all six swine charged at the same time. And it's like that. Fuck what you heard. They protect killer cops cause they will get served. And it's like that. I ain't taking it back. Cause it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Where's B-more at? Where's Brooklyn at? Where's Gaza? Where's Cleveland? Where's Ferguson at? And it's like that. Better get off the fence. Demonstrate, legislate, or build self-defense. America made me a nigga, but Ferguson reframed the picture. It's the truth, pure light in the booth. The x-rays displayed, no flesh in the proofs. Science and defiance baptizing the youth. Here to resurrect the dead without heads, feds can shoot wide. America made me a nigga, but Baltimore reframed the picture. Broken neck dialect spoken from the beyond. Phoenix from the ashes, spitting classics at the seance. Cadence in the chaos, profits in the layoffs. Rhythms of division amplified for the payoffs. America made me a nigga, but Palestine reframed the picture. Call this Haiti in the 1780s, pre-intifada, Ramallah, Oquavada, and Guatemala. Not the gangster version of commercials for vodka, where each single is a jingle helping prisons to prosper. Nah, America made me a nigga, and then we reframed the picture.
We need to, as a community, police the police, because they cannot police themselves.
And it's like that. And it's like that. I ain't taking it back. Cause it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Where's B-more at? Where's Brooklyn at? Where's Gaza? Where's Cleveland? Where's Ferguson at? And it's like that. Better get off the fence. Demonstrate, legislate, or build self-defense. You know what, black people should. You know what, black people should. You know what, black.
All right, so welcome back. You're still listening to The Rebel Beat, and joining us right now through Skype is Baltimore-based radical MC Son of Nun. Welcome back
what's
to
up,
the program.
What's up? Yeah, thanks for having me.
Lots of stuff going on in the world. We're going to be talking about the new video that you've been working on, but first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the elections, because I know you've been thinking a lot and saying a lot about the elections. We're recording this, of course, before the elections happen, but this podcast mm-hmm. is going to come out after the elections happen. And regardless of whether it's Trump or Clinton who wins, I guess, like, what's your message for people on these elections and kind of the takeaway from it? Keeping in mind that the election will have already passed once people hear this.
I mean, the same message that you know, King had back in the day and that a lot of labor organizers before him had, which is organize, organize, organize. You know, like, there's not another way around getting what you need. Basically, he refused to endorse particular candidates because he knew that regardless of who was in power, he'd still have to hold them accountable along with the people. you know. So that's that. My basic message is, don't let the election fool you. Don't let that be all that you do to contribute, you know, to play a role in this democracy. Make sure that you're actually like doing more to bring about the kind of world that you want to see, because there's not another way to do it. It has to be us making it happen.
All right. Powerful words indeed. So you got a brand new music video that's about to drop. It's for the track It's Like That. We've heard the track on the program before. That's the video is going to be coming out later this month, but yeah, tell us about the track It's Like That and about the video.
Yeah. So the track, came about, in response to the uprisings that were happening in Baltimore, and in Ferguson at the time. And, you know, I wasn't even sure about making a video for it because the track had been out for so long. I wasn't sure if it would still be culturally relevant, but unfortunately, you know, the police haven't gotten the memo to stop killing Black people, so the song is still relevant as ever, as they continue to take people's lives. We continue to stand up in resistance to that, and different cities, you know, they take it upon themselves to respond either through just demonstration or through uprising, you know, like a more visceral response. So the song is about basically like it's a cover song, I like to say, of like What's Going On and Mercy Mercy Me and old spirituals like, you know, Follow the Drinking Gourd, you know, like the same songs that we've been singing since we got off the boat, basically, you know, like, because we've been facing similar conditions this whole time, you know, what the way that inequality plays out, the way that racism plays out, the way that capitalism plays out in sustaining inequality as opposed to allowing people to thrive and reach their potential. So the song is about basically fighting back and standing up. I like to think of it as a love song for people who love justice.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. So the video itself is actually pretty interesting too, because there's a mini documentary portion of it where I just ask a few people who are organizers and activists around the city what they're doing concretely to affect change, just so that people can see, yeah, the video is angry, yeah, the song is angry, but there's actual people doing good work in the city of Baltimore, because I wanted to show Baltimore in a different light than it typically gets viewed as, you know, viewed through. So, yeah. That's where I was going with the idea with the video. So there's a mini documentary portion of it, and of course there's the regular part where it's the song. We got some dope people in it. Tawanda Jones, who's a sister of Tyrone West, who was killed about just over 3 years ago by Baltimore City Police. She's in it. We interview her, talking about her struggle and their family's fight. They've been holding West Wednesdays for over 3 years now, every single week. Just relentlessly demanding accountability for the murder of their brother by about 11 to 15 police officers in Baltimore City. So she's in it. We have Dr. Jared Ball in it. He is one of the originators of using the mixtape as emancipatory journalism. So like doing interviews with different organizers and former, you know, Panthers and things like that, and weaving that into like mixtapes that have political music in them, kind of like what you're doing with the Rebel Beat.
So that video, it's gonna drop later this month in November. Once again, Son of None, Baltimore-based MC. Check him out. We'll be posting a link to that through our social media. You can also find it through Firebrand Records. And just really quickly, any other plans you got on the horizon in terms of shows, recordings, whatnot?
So the finale for the TPP, Rock Against the TPP tour, is going to be in DC, on the 30th of November. And we're working out the headliner, but we got some dope people. I can't tell you who's on there now. By the time that this airs though, people should check rockagainstthetpp.org to see what the final lineup is going to be. And it's going to be dope. I can tell you that November 30th in DC, come through, check it out. It's free. You won't be disappointed. Rock Against the TPP.
Amazing. All right. So once again, we've been speaking with Son of None from Baltimore. Check out his new video, It's Like That, dropping later on in November. Thanks so much for being with us on the Rebel Beat today.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow, or it can crash. Be water, my friend. Be water, my friend. Be water, my friend. Be water, my friend. Water.
I tread the river's sunspot, shadowless. No manuals, no manuscripts, no man-made arrogance, no luxurious terraces, impervious carelessness, ecocidal damages. Just a great awakening from the hedonistical foggy mist. Collective embarrassment for acts of war by a few, made to feel powerless like, the hell am I to do? See, if I were you, I'd get the F out and dodge. Camouflage and face the tide for a lost cause. Pause. Mind scars preventing masses from acting massive. Floating on the rivers cause they built their own rafts. Though they're highly clever, they face unnatural disasters. The current's strong, but they're paddling on. I know this turbulence unchallenged won't subside. I trust the rivers, but still, I'm my own guide. And a lust for the futures that be so bright. Worst case, we'll be sailing in the wind. You win? Bruce Lee taught me to be the water. From Turtle Island, we promise to fight harder. Bruce Lee taught me to be the water. From Turtle Island, we promise to fight. Bruce Lee taught me to be the water. Water's the recipe, lifeline energy. Fought for, died for, what's gotten into these corporate entities that disagree? Physically threatening our rights to be. There's gotta be more to life than this. Companies claim the lake, say they got the D. Tap it, then they charge a fee. 36,000 in Detroit, victims of their greed. The blame gets deflected, rage misdirected. They pay corrupt leaders past the environmental protection inspection. Super fine print, special ingredients in a war that ain't lenient. It's hardcore, cause dollars gotta be made. CEOs need gas money for their jet planes. But life is just a river, man. We ride it like it ain't no thing. Feeling secure through the positivity we bring. Bruce Lee taught me to be the water. For Turtle Island, we promise to fight harder. Bruce Lee taught me to be the water. For Turtle Island, we promise to fight. Bruce Lee taught me to be the water. For Turtle Island, we promise to fight harder. Bruce Lee taught me to be the water. For Turtle Island, we fight.
We're told that after the war the Nazis vanished without a trace, but battalions of fascists still dream of a master race. The history books they tell of their defeat in 45, but they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. The prisoner of Spandau was a symbol of defeat. Whilst heads remained in prison, then the fascists, they were beat. So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize. So why did they all come out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots, the maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. If you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Soon to be a prisoner like his comrades have become. But he's proud when he tells their story, cause he's proud of what they've done. He's an anti-fascist from the ranks of the working class. And when the Nazis come to town, he doesn't let them pass. He said, my grandfather fought fascists, cause it's what he had to do. Can't threaten me with prison time, but I'll fight fascists too. May my body be a barricade that won't let fascists through. Well, in the name of my grandfather and for me and you, and for the future we'll fight fascists too. Says 2 years isn't justice, but it's twice as good as four. A much higher price is paid by those who've suffered through the war. And I'll be damned if my inaction lets that power rise again. We can bury the hatchet once we bury fascism. It's my grandfather fought fascists, cause it's what he had to do. Can't threaten me with prison time, but I'll fight fascists too. May my body be a barricade that won't let the fascists through. In the name of my grandfather and for me and you, and for the future we'll fight fascists too. It takes more than fists to stop oppression, for hate's born in the heart. But alongside the slow shifts, the fist must play its part. For the violent deeds of fascist few can silence everyone. We can bury the hatchet once we bury the fascism. Cause our grandparents fight fascists, cause it's what they had to do. Can threaten us with prison time, but we'll fight fascists too. May our bodies be barricades that won't let the fascists through. In the name of our grandparents and for me and you, and for the future we'll fight fascists too. Yeah, for the future we'll fight fascists too.
So welcome back. You're of course listening to The Rebel Beat. We just heard a few tracks in there. The first was a brand new one called Water Fight by Mother Tarika and The Rebel Function out of Hamilton, Ontario. And then we heard some anti-fascist tunes to lay the groundwork for our feature interview with Oi Polloi. So we heard Anti-Nazi Song by Chumbawamba, and then Ryan Harvey with And We'll Fight Fascists Too. And that's, of course, from Firebrand Records. Please do link us up on social media. You can find us at facebook.com/rebelbeatradio, on Twitter at rebelbeatradio, or on Instagram at @the_rebel_beat. And wherever you are, you can be sure to subscribe to us. And if you do, please leave us a rating and a review. It helps us out a lot. And of course, your feedback is always appreciated. You can send us an email at rebel@ckut.ca. And of course, all these links and whatnot will be in the show notes for this program. So as promised, our interview with Oi Polloi is coming up. If you don't know Oi Polloi, they're an anti-fascist Scottish anarchist punk band who've been rocking hard since 1981. They're really beautiful and smart people, and we had a chance to talk with them about everything from reconciling anarchist politics with Brexit and Scottish independence, their use of Gaelic and their advocacy of protecting Indigenous languages, and also the 80th anniversary of the legendary Battle of Cable Street in London. You don't know what that is? Well, you'll find out. And I want to thank all the guys from Oi Polloi for doing this interview with me, as well as to Annabelle and Mauricio for letting us their kitchen to do the interview in. So to warm us up for the interview, here's one of my favorites from Oi Polloi. This is Take Back the Land. We're going to send this one out to Indigenous land defenders everywhere, from Standing Rock to Muskrat Falls to Amjanong to Unist'ot'en territory. I'm in Montreal in a kitchen right now in the beautiful Centre Sud with the one and only Oi Polloi, who's joining us all the way from Edinburgh, Scotland. So first, welcome back to Montreal. Maybe to start, if you guys could all introduce yourselves.
Hi there. I'm Murray and I play drums.
I'm Dave and I play the guitar.
I'm Deke and I do the vocals.
I'm Andy and I play bass.
All right. So you guys are here for Revolution Fest. It's going to be going down this weekend, maybe the third or fourth edition of this amazing kind of anti-fascist revolutionary music festival here in Montreal. Maybe we'll just jump right into some of the political stuff that I wanted to talk to you guys about, because of course, you know, Oi Polloi, it's a band that kind of puts your politics like, you know, first and foremost. So there's been a lot of news coming out of, I guess, Scotland, but more broadly, like the UK in general, over the last year, particularly because of a Brexit, of course. The vote, of course, for the UK to leave the EU. And then a lot of people have been talking about the possibility of maybe a second referendum on independence for Scotland. And I know like that in particular, Scottish independence is an issue that I know touches very close to the heart of Oi Polloi. You guys did a little song about it, and you've spoken out about it. I'm curious to know, though, like how do you guys approach the issue of like Scottish independence, and how do you maybe like reconcile that with some of the anarchist politics of the band?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to say in terms of Brexit, England and Wales voted to leave the EU. Scotland and Northern Ireland didn't vote to leave the EU, which in a lot of ways demonstrates entirely why we need to have Scottish independence. That we, as far as I'm concerned, it's the only way we can get away from that sort of xenophobic kind of shift to the right. Mm-hmm. It's not about kind of nationalism in the sort of accepted point of view or accepted way of viewing it for anybody I know. It's basically about getting away from having right-wing Tory governments that we don't vote for coming out with bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it comes to something when you can't enjoy David Cameron resigning live on TV.
I would say actually it's in terms of the relationship to anarchism at the end of the day, you know, depending, obviously people come from different political persuasions that believe in independence, but I think if you do believe in anarchy, it's a devolution of power as well from, you know, the system that is Britain at the moment. So to me, that's a way forward to, you know, everyone having a bigger voice in politics, whatever that persuasion may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting too, because, you know, a lot of what people are talking about, or at least what we were hearing in the media over here in North America with regards to Brexit, is kind of a rising xenophobia in Europe, in the UK. I imagine that that's something that people in Scotland are struggling with as well. And then you have this like huge refugee crisis, which a lot of people are calling it's a capitalism crisis. Mm. I'm wondering like how that's operating in Scotland today. Like what does xenophobia and racism look like on the streets of Scotland today, like as you guys are seeing it?
Well, I've got to be honest, I don't know if I see a lot of it myself. I mean, unfortunately, the people who experience that are the people who've perhaps come from Eastern Europe or whatever to Scotland. I think some of them might get grief, but I've got to say, I don't experience that. I don't hear people getting sort of grief in the street, on buses or anything like that. Not in the way that I certainly hear it's happened down south. I have no doubt that it goes on, but I don't think it's growing in any respect. I think there's still the same amount of arseholes as always been that have these views.
Right.
I think it's possibly growing in other parts of the supposed United Kingdom. But, I mean, it might be wishful thinking, but I always feel Scotland's a more open-minded, welcoming country for people from various places.
I mean, Scotland's certainly taken a vastly higher proportion of the refugees that have come. And, I mean, you just need to, you know, even if you look at the sort of comparison between the papers, the media, you've got a lot of the right-wing tabloid press sort of based in England and certainly edited there, really just stirring up this hatred for certainly people from Syria and so on, but also for Eastern Europeans. And we've had, since Brexit, we've had people being killed. There was a Polish guy who was like stabbed the other day, and lots of attacks and really, really bad stuff. Now, that hasn't happened so much in Scotland. And if you look at the papers while they're, you know, the red tops edited in the south will be coming out with some story like, you know, our Syrian refugees were going to rape your children or this kind of stuff. Whereas when the first Syrian refugees arrived in Scotland, the Scottish paper, The National, the front page was a big welcome.
Right.
You know, welcome to the people from Syria coming to live in Scotland. And certainly the Scottish government has done a lot more to make them welcome. But it's like Dave was saying, there's a massive political difference between Scotland and England.
Right.
And that's, again, what the whole independence thing has come down to. It's not that people want to start waving Scottish flags around. It's that people in Scotland have been voting in a more left-wing way for, you know, decades. And we've had to put up with these right-wing governments, either the Conservative government or New Labour, who are basically like Tories as well. And it's, people want a change in that. Most of the people that voted for independence in the referendum wouldn't have classed themselves as nationalists. And in fact, all the things that you associate with nationalism in a bad sense, things like, you know, sort of mindless flag waving, patriotism, xenophobia, racism, involvement in sort of dubious foreign military adventures, these are all things that have come from the Westminster government. And the Scottish government didn't want anything to do with the Iraq wars, the Afghanistan wars. The Scottish government's been campaigning for there to be more migration to Scotland.
Right.
And Scotland needs more people.
Mm-hmm.
It's in direct contrast to what they're doing in England. I mean, the British government just the other day is demanding that all employers must now provide a list of foreign employees. And I mean, it's, you know, it's getting to the point where it's starting to become vaguely reminiscent of 1930s Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that's an exaggeration.
I kind of wanted to turn a little bit to, you know, your music, and also the fact for that I think is really exciting, the fact that you guys have been putting out a lot more stuff and writing a lot more in Gaelic over the last 10 years. And I imagine, of course, like through interviews, you've probably talked a lot about this. But one thing that I thought was really beautiful and amazing the last time you guys were here is, Deke, you kind of made a link with disappearing indigenous languages on Turtle Island, or also known as North America. And I'm wondering if you can maybe just like expand on that a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to talk about indigenous languages here, but like, you know, maybe like seeing, I think people, and especially indigenous people in North America can relate to that, right? Like,
Well, I think, I mean, one of the first things to emphasize is that the whole thing about singing in Gaelic is it's never been anything to do with some kind of weird Braveheart style nationalism. And this is something that a few people sometimes, they've misinterpreted it, and we've had to explain that. But it's been about respect for diversity, cultural, linguistic diversity, and the rights of people to their linguistic human rights and their rights to have their own culture and live their own way and so on. And, you know, being supportive of groups like Survival International and so on, if you were to take a mainstream group that's doing campaigning like that, and generally for Indigenous people's rights. But, you know, we're great believers in the kind of, I think the slogan that Greenpeace use, you know, is like, think globally, act locally.
Right.
So for us, it doesn't make sense for us to be, you know, attempting to sing in, I don't know, Mi'kmaq language or something like that. You know, it makes sense to do something in the area where we're based. And that was why we started doing the stuff in Gaelic. Now, none of us are native speakers of Gaelic, but we wanted to support it somehow. And obviously, being in a band, the best way to do it is by using it in our music. And as they say, you know, use it or lose it.
Mm.
So that's the most radical act I think you can do, is to learn to speak it and then use it. So we thought, we don't want this to be just a gimmick, you know, or we'll put out a record in Gaelic and everyone will think this is cool, and that we'll actually have to be able to discuss about it in Gaelic and justify it. So we kind of recorded this thing. It was like simplistic D-beat lyrics that was the easiest to do, that a friend who's a Gaelic primary teacher helped us with. But then we had to sit on the recordings for about 2 years until I could go and learn Gaelic.
Wow.
You know, so we felt then we're going to get interviewed by Gaelic radio and stuff. We can talk about it genuinely. And some of the other guys in the band who are, they're no longer in the band. One of them sadly had to leave for health reasons. And the other one, he ended up moving to America with his partner. But they learned a bit as well. And yeah, so, you know, I mean, we think it's healthy. For diversity is a healthy thing. We think it would be very sad if, you know, everyone speaks the same way and thinks the same way. And there's definitely a connection between that. You know, every language is not just different words to say the same thing, but a lot of them give you a different way of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
Like some languages where there's no future tense. And that really changes how people think and look at the world, because you're living more in the present. In Gaelic, there's things like when you say the alphabet, you don't just recite a lot of letters. It's like trees. You know, it's kind of little things like that that are connected. There isn't really a word that's quite the same as the English word for to kind of to possess or to own something.
Wow.
I find that quite healthy as well.
Yeah.
You know, every language has got its own peculiarities. And we think it's a shame if these get lost. You know, one of the things about Gaelic in Scotland that we tried to address was that in a lot of ways it's seen as a sort of boring, old-fashioned thing, you know, it's all, oh, that's what my granny spoke, and it's just about kind of sheep and boring stuff like that. And we wanted to kind of make it a bit more, drag it kicking and screaming into the, you know, 21st century. So like we've made an effort to sing maybe about different things. Like we've got Gaelic song about open source computing. Lots of people make jokes, you know, in Scotland, people who are not Gaelic speakers and don't like it, they'll kind of say, oh yeah, speak Gaelic, and they'll just come up with some gibberish like blah, 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 open source computing, as if there isn't Gaelic words for that. Now, there are, there's plenty of words for stuff, you know, and they'll say, oh, what's the Gaelic word for, you know, for piano? And our question would obviously, well, what's the fucking English word for piano? What's the English word for spaghetti?
English, you know, hasn't been influenced by other languages at all. You know, so
it's just people forget all the long words. But, you know, we've got fucking Gaelic words for, like, you know, open source software and all this stuff. You know, it's not the sort of backward thing that some people make it out to.
It's the English word for aubergine.
Exactly.
Eggplant. So, like, I mean, as I mentioned, it's been, I think, about 10 years or so that you guys have been putting out albums written almost entirely or entirely in Gaelic. Was there any kind of, like, a marked point or kind of, like, a decision, a turning point somewhere where you said, like, it clicked and you were like, we got to do this?
Well, we did this first single. It was like, right, let's do something to sort of help promote it and make a bit of a splash and stuff. But then we're like, well, we don't want this just to be a gimmick. So we then did a whole album that was in Gaelic. And at the same time, we recorded a bunch of other songs that some were in Gaelic and some were in English. And I think they went out on various records. And I went, well, we're not just going to make it a one album gimmick. So we did a second album that was all in Gaelic.
Mm-hmm.
And but we're interested in other stuff as well. We'd just done on our new album that's just come out, there's a song in Yiddish.
Wow.
Was another, you know, endangered, threatened language. That,
it's my,
you know,
people's language.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, one of the reasons we choose that, I have to be honest here, is like, it didn't mean having to go and completely learn a new language, because a couple of us have got fairly decent German.
Mm.
And with the similarities, it was like, well, okay, we actually know what we're singing here, which is quite important, because I think sometimes people do things like, you know, they'll get a tattoo in like Chinese or something, and they don't really know what it means. Uh-huh. And we didn't particularly want to be singing songs where we thought we knew what it was, but we didn't really.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons for the Yiddish thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's to sort of emphasize that it's not just about a minority language in the country that we happen to come from. It's about the whole sort of principle.
You got me all excited when you mentioned Yiddish, because, I mean, I know I'm like, as someone who's Jewish and an anarchist, I'm fascinated by, you know, the working class radical history in Judaism, which, you know, obviously there's like Emma Goldman, and but, you know, the list goes on. And it's cool too, because a lot of especially younger radical Jews are trying to reclaim now Yiddish as a way to, like, similar to with what you guys are doing with Gaelic, to kind of try to tap into cultural traditions, political traditions that kind of already have a language of, like, the issues that...
Well, we, a little secret, the Yiddish song that has come out, it's like fairly basic DB stuff, you know, like, okay, fantastic lyric. And we actually got the lyrics. A friend of ours had a... His family are originally from Europe. He lives in the States, and that, but he had a sort of catalogue of old Yiddish anarchist books from some anarchist library. And we just, like, looked at the titles, and of course loads of them fitted excellently for kind of D-beat lyrics.
Yeah.
So that's how we got that. But there was, like, pages and pages of this stuff. So there's obviously, you'll know this, there's a lot of radical literature out there. That.
For sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. So what's that song going to be about?
It's called Was Willen die Anarchisten? What do the anarchists want? And it's basically, that's the chorus, and it's a bunch of things that we want.
Yeah.
In Yiddish, which is so incredibly close to German that we could understand what right. It meant.
Love it. So I wanted to talk about a couple of my favorite Oi Polloi songs. One of them, I think, is particularly significant to talk about right now because so we just passed the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Cable Street, October 4th. So this is going back to what, like, I guess that must have been 1936. And you guys have a song about that, Let the Boots Do the Talking. You know, one of my favorite kind of, like, rallying cries just for, like, standing up to fascists, not only in the example that people did in London in the 1930s, but also today in the context that we're seeing. And so, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Let the Boots Do the Talking, the song, but also maybe, like, a little bit about the history behind it and, like, what it represents to you guys.
Sorry, I'm conscious I'm ranting so much.
Well, I think, obviously, it's a big part of, you know, I mean, many, not just that particular song, but I think if you go back, I mean, you go back to that time, obviously the politics in Britain have kind of changed in terms of anti-fascism. I mean, what, probably over 10 years ago, they were very much a street presence. So, well, even going back further, 10, 20 years ago, certainly during the 1990s, where there was probably a bigger similarity in terms of, you know, the fascists had much more of a presence on the streets, and it was much more of a physical way that they went about things. So at that time, you had anti-fascist action who were basically countering it on that level. Whether that's kind of, obviously, and then they became, tried to become more acceptable and do it through the sort of so-called democratic process. But as you can see all across the world, you know, they are starting again, possibly to sort of put their politics back on a sort of street level. So there's so many similarities, you know, even though it's, you know, what, 80 years ago or so, there's still a lot to be learned from that time in terms of direct opposition and the working classes getting together and, you know, stopping fascism and stopping them spreading hatred, etc., in their communities. So I think it's always been something that's important to me, certainly, individually, even outside of the band. So.
One thing I really admire about that track too is Well, particularly from, I was watching a live video of you guys playing it, and Deke, it was something you said at the beginning about, you know, it's like, okay, it's about confronting fascists physically, but I think when we kind of think about anti-fascism, sometimes it's like there's this perception that we have to be like the big tough guy. Oh, man. And you kind of like say something to the effect that like it's not about being the big macho tough guy, right? Like we're all stronger when we fight together. And
yeah, I mean, it's like the classic graphic of the, you know, the big fish chasing the shoal of little ones, and then they're all together like a big fish and they're chasing the other one. You know, when everyone stands together, obviously they're stronger. But also the thing with the anti-fascist action stuff is that the street fighting on its own is nothing if all the support stuff's not there. Mm. And, you know, okay, some people are really good at street fighting or whatever. Other people can't punch their way out of a paper bag. And I would put myself in the latter category. But there's millions of other things that need done as well. You know, some people are good organisers. They can organise a benefit gigs. They can organise, I don't know, a fundraising merchandise or whatever. Some people are great graphic artists. They can do the stuff for the banners and the flyers and T-shirt designs to raise money or whatever. Other people, maybe they might have a talent for just sort of blending into the background. So they're the people that can go and do some intelligence gathering or something. There's all kinds of things that people can do. And as we say, anyone can like at least write a letter of support to anti-fascist prisoners. So there's a role for everyone. And although maybe sometimes the actual battering people on the street gets a bit more of the glamour or whatever, you know, a lot of that is nothing without all the backup behind it. I'm going to tell this story of some horrible thing where the intelligence wasn't there. I don't know if you remember about this, but some case where like AFA battered a bunch of folk in this pub, and this guy who had just come out of, I mean, this sort of sounds sort of funny in a darkly amusing way, but it's really bad, just come out of hospital and had a brain operation. So his head had been shaved. And he got his sort of head kicked in for being a Nazi bonehead, and he was just sort of in the wrong place at the wrong time kind of thing. And that's the kind of stuff that you want to avoid, you know? Mm-hmm. So intelligence has got to be there. It's just as important as all the other stuff.
I think it's got to be adaptable as well, you know? Mm. You can't just have the sole opposition as being physical, you know? They all change tactics as they have throughout the decades, so it's important that you have people with all kinds of skills, is basically what you were saying, that are able to adapt and change and not get stuck in one way of opposing fascism.
The other favourite song of mine from Oi Polloi that I wanted to talk about was We Must Combat Sexism on All Levels. Because to me, the lyrics are so simple. It's just such a straightforward, no nuance, no bullshit song. Yeah, can you talk a little bit about that song and I guess the motivations for doing a song?
Of course, it's like, it's kind of common sense. Maybe something to like, I don't know, there's this thing that, you know, sometimes people talk about political punk bands, oh, you're just like preaching to the converted and stuff. And the sad truth is that isn't the case. You know, we all know things like there's like people who are like singing in some band, you know, singing, I don't know, blah, 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 like women's rights stuff and that. And then the singer goes home and like batters their female partner or something. You know, there's lots of sexism and homophobia and all these things still in the punk scene. And sadly, we're not preaching to the converted. And it's, I mean, there's other things that are maybe not, they're not quite as explicit, but, and it's not necessarily the punk scene in itself that's to blame, but it's just, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a microcosm of society at large. Now I'm thinking of like last weekend when we were in Kiel, when we were playing at this festival, and when we got there, there was like guys kind of sort of putting up the PA and hanging up sort of backdrops and stuff. And like, oh, the food will be ready in an hour. And we go outside and there's like these people making stuff around the table, but it was like all women doing the food. So like the guys are doing their like the manly stuff, and that is a very common sight at a lot of punk things. Okay, there's a lot of guys who do food as well, but it's still a noticeable thing. There's lots of things just to think about. And okay, we've all been brought up in a sexist society, and we're all products of that. I think we can use our intelligence to maybe, you know, to do a bit of reflection on that and trying to change it. But I think one of the things we liked about that song was that it was, we got some women doing the singing as well. So, right. You know, it's like, and the idea that it's together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can totally understand a lot of people who get drawn to this separatist feminist thing, especially after a lot of shit that people had to put up with that. And, you know, if that's what people want to do, fair play to them, more power to them. But obviously we think it's good if people are working together against this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could talk about this for ages, but I don't know. That just reminded me, you're going to mention that When Two Men Kiss song at all.
I love that song.
Thinking about Canada and not preaching to the converted. One of the most depressing things I remember about our first trip to Canada was playing in some place, and I don't remember where it was. I don't think it was one of the big cities. But at the show, we were like talking to these folk in the hall, and we said, "What do you do here?" And we're like, "Oh, you know, get a few beers, go in the park, you know, listen to the music, drink some beers, it's a bit queer bashing." And we're like, "What did you say?" And like, yeah, drink some beers, go and like bash some queers and stuff, you know. And we were like, what the fuck? This is like 1990.
Yeah.
But you know, these are people at our gig, supposedly into our stuff, and that was the mentality.
Is that what prompted you guys to write that song?
No, we'd written the song before. The song was prompted by, it was a horrible murder in Edinburgh when some gig man was like beaten up, and then he was like chucked on these like, we've got a lot of these metal fences with sort of spiked, it's almost like something from a medieval spear or something. And he was like lifted up and sort of impaled on it and killed. And it was just a particularly brutal thing.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I mean, that's one of the songs, one of the very few songs that has resulted in quite a bit of grief at gigs.
Mm.
Like people say, oh, fuck off, you fucking poofs. And like throwing glasses and things from the back of the hall.
Wow.
Can't really remember Martin.
I'm ex-Oipola guitarist getting queer bashed on Calton Hill because his girlfriend at the time had short hair and looked like a boy, and they got attacked and got a bottle smashed over his head.
Well, okay, I don't want to end it on such a depressing note there, but I'm basically out of questions. But I mean, you know, obviously a lot of the music is about fighting back and resistance too, and you know, that's what I think we always have to look at in terms of, you know, the kind of plus side to all the dark things. So again, we've been speaking with Oipoloi here in Montreal for Revolution Fest. Lastly, this is kind of funny. I was Googling Oipoloi to like do a little bit of research.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
First thing that comes up is a clothing line.
Yeah.
Any affiliation?
So just letting our secret out of the bag. So by day selling quality menswear, at night pulling on black rags and going playing cross kicks. It would be a great story, but sadly it's nothing to do with it.
Have they come after you guys to sue you for the name yet? Or
no, I mean, the ridiculous thing is that we predate them by a long way.
Right.
I think they started about 2000 or something. And I suspect what happened is, I mean, I know they're aware of some punk stuff because they had something that used some crass graphics a while ago, and they got a bit of grief for it. I wouldn't be surprised if they'd like heard of the band or something, but it was the time when I think the internet was kind of just starting, and we didn't have any like web presence or anything. They probably thought, oh, this is an ancient band, they're probably not going, but it's a good name. Or I mean it's been quite funny because sometimes people have like tried to contact us, and I've gone, like, someone wanted us to do some Gaelic rapping or some like some big music project, and they got in touch with the clothes shop, and they did it by Twitter, so we saw the clothes shop's reply. It was like, we are a menswear retailers, our Gaelic rapping skills are sadly lacking or something. But the other funny thing is you get punks writing to us and saying like, what the fuck are you guys doing? This is seriously not cool. This is like not punk. And they seriously think that, you know, we're like selling all this like trendy clothing and then at night going and playing crust concerts.
Well, you want to buy an Oi Polloi t-shirt for a joke, you know. I went onto the website and they're about £150 each, so
right. It's no way. Yeah. Not very punk. No, so
the last time we were in the US, it was funny, a guitarist at the time who lives there now, one of his friends prints a lot of DIY punk patches, and he decided to do some Oi Polloi patches, but he'd ended up with the logo from the clothes shop. Uh-oh. It's like, is it two magpies or two birds or something? So he'd printed up all these patches and these crusties with this like expensive menswear retailers logo on their ripped jeans and stuff. Really ridiculous.
Well, we're here to dispel the rumors. Oi Polloi, anti-fascist street crust band from Edinburgh, not a clothing line. Well, there is the clothing line, Oi Polloi. But anyways, yeah, again, you guys are here in Montreal for Revolution Fest. It started last night and it's going on for a few days, and you guys have a little bit of a Canadian tour, so we wish you all the best and thanks so much for speaking with us on the Rebel Beat today.
Thanks, Rebel Beat.
Merci, mon ami.
Welcome back. We're going to leave you on this episode with our Turn It Up segment, where we look at an artist, musician, or project that's really making waves for revolutionary radical change. Today, we're actually going to focus on two things for the Turn It Up segment. The first was actually brought to our attention by one of our listeners, James. It's a brand new Black Power radio station that's being built in St. Petersburg, Florida, called Black Power 96. They just got their building permit in August, and they're going to be broadcasting at 96.3 FM in St. Petersburg and online at blackpower96.org. It promises to be an anti-corporate, pro-black, self-determination, non-degrading voice. And they're looking for donations. So if you want to support this incredible voice, head on over to blackpower96.org. Let's have a quick little listen to one of their samples right here.
96.3 FM.
If the African woman wants to see freedom for all African people, we have to join the revolution.
No degrading lyrics.
Don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black man, you're an African.
Informative.
It's really important that we bring women into political revolutionary life because it's time for us to form and consolidate the role of African women in this revolution.
Finally, the station you've been looking for.
Black Power, 96.3 FM.
Dear Africa, it's just me, your son. I pray this letter finds you better. Hope you're doing fine. I can't believe it's...
The second thing that we're going to look at on our Turn It Up segment is this amazing new track and accompanying video that was just released by Indigenous MC from the Dakotas, Prolific the Rapper, and the tune is called Black Snakes. So what he did here is he took this incredible beat from a tribe called Red Stadium Powwow, that's off their new album, Hallucination, and he added his own lyrics to it. And of course, the track is about this amazing months-long Indigenous resistance that's been happening against the North Dakota Access Pipeline. I'm sure many of you have heard about the struggle, but if you haven't yet, go to nodapplesolidarity.org. That's nodapplesolidarity.org. You can find links there to either make donations to support the camp, or even travel there yourself to support actions if you're able. Also, do be sure to watch some of the amazing media coverage from the West Coast Women's Warriors Media Cooperative on Facebook, Democracy Now!, and Unicorn Riot. One thing is for sure, no matter who wins the US election, they're going to be supporting the merchants of death who are backing these pipelines, so it's up to all of us to fight even harder after election time. You can check out Prolific the Rapper by finding his Facebook page, where you'll also find the video. And we'll post a video of that link as well on our website, rebelbeatradio.com. So just before heading out, we want to thank again our Patreons. That's Thomas, Anne, Daria, and Anarkat. And of course, you can support us by signing up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/rebelbeatradio. Also, do be sure to check out firebrandrecords.com for exciting new music. We'll be back in December with an in-depth interview with Montreal rebel cabaret artist Norman Navrasky. Until then, subscribe to this show, support us, spread the word, and see you in the streets. Here we go now with Prolific the Rapper, Black Snakes. Thanks for listening.
What would you say to people who are thinking about coming but out here to help, but they're on the fence about it?
Tell them to come. Fight your warrior spirit and get here.
Don't stand who will on earth. The wind comes in four corners, four directions, four colors. And death rides on four horsemen. A black snake with some black tank. How much money do these companies need to make? They could drop their product, but they wanna save a buck. Already extracted billions, when is enough enough? I used to be in the oil fields, getting paid. But I quit, cause oil water I can't drink. Look down and see Kamimi La die in the mud. I looked up and told myself that enough's enough. Money does not own my soul, living comfortable. It's not in my plans, my hands in the sand. Some things worth more than gold. Some things they can't be sold. Some things can't be replaced. She is your mother, the fresh water is her veins. What is going on? Have we all lost our minds? Every human needs clean water to survive.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be called.
Love is the strongest, this path is the hardest. But if we weren't strong enough to do it, we wouldn't see it. Our prayers would not be needed, this movement's very needed. Indigenous wisdom unheeded and sacred things depleted. I'm Mexicano, Malacota, and I'm white too. I'm mixed with everyone, so part of me's just like you. Every group of human beings shares the same stars. And if the earth is not your mother, are you from Mars? Since 1492, 500 years and counting. Surviving the genocide they call colonizing my turtle island. What is the fossil fuel? Continued destruction, nothing new. Living a system, taking our children, shipping the fields till nothing's true. I had that money in front of me, but I left it. Cause oil money's dirty if my mother gets disrespected. We're disconnected, these times are hectic and feeling heavy. But still we love all living beings and suffer for the many. We are peaceful people, that's why we walk with prayer. And if that wasn't true, we wouldn't be standing here. We're peaceful people, we walk with prayer. Turtle Island, have no fear. Despite what they show in the media, we're kind people, hold your ground. Change is coming now.